السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله كفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: لئن شكرتم لأزيدنكم ولئن كفرتم إن عذابي لشديد. صدق الله العظيم. The incident of Qurbani that took place by two prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam. This incident teaches us many lessons. The incident is not something new to all of us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam a dream that he is slaughtering his son. He told his son, O Ismail, O my son, Ya Bunayya, Inni ara fil manam, I have seen in a dream, Anni azbahuka, I am slaughtering you. Fanzur madha tara, what should I do now? Qala ya abat if'al ma tu'mar, O my father, do whatever you have been commanded. Satajidni insha'Allah min as-sabirin, you will find me, if Allah Ta'ala wills, I will be of those people who are tolerant and patient. I will forbear whatever Allah Ta'ala has instructed me, has instructed you and me to go through. Then Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ. The lesson that Allah Ta'ala is teaching us is when Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi wa salatu wa salam, they both surrendered to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the lesson for us to learn. Total surrendering, total submission to the will and the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it conforms to our logic or not, whether we can fathom and understand it or not, this is a very important lesson for us. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam to slaughter his son. After so many years, according to one tafsir, some mufassirin, commentators of the Quran Sharif mentioned that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam was 120 years old. His wife was 90 years old. And according to some other narrations, he was 100 and she was 98 years old when Prophet Ismail alayhi salatu wa salam was born. At that age, Allah Ta'ala granted him this child after so many years. But when Allah Ta'ala instructed him through the means of the dream to slaughter his son, the dreams of the prophets is wahi, is revelation, is true. Immediately, he was prepared to sacrifice his son because it was a law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With no questions, today, when laws are explained to us, when we learn something new, straight away, we worry about the reasons. What's the wisdom behind it? We try to find out a loophole wherein we can change the law for ourselves. Whereas, it should have been the other way around. When a person goes for Hajj, even though in Makkah al-Mukarramah, in the Haram Sharif, to read one salah, one namaz, a person attains 100,000 sawab. As though he has read, for that one salah, he gets 100,000 rewards. But still Allah Ta'ala instructs him, on the 8th of Zilhijjah, go to Mina. On the 9th, go to Arafat. On the 9th night, go to Muzdalifah. On the 10th, go to Mina. Again, 11th and 12th in Mina. And optionally, on the 13th, if you want to stay in Mina, you can stay. For these 5 or 6 days, Allah Ta'ala instructs a person to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah, despite the reward being so great there for Salah, for Namaz, but still he is in Mina, he is in Arafat, he is in Muzdalifah. Without questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is total surrender, total submission to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever law it be, this is our quality, Sami'na wa Ata'na. We have heard and we have obeyed. Not sami'na wa asayna. That we hear, first we ponder, and then we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the lesson Allah ta'ala tells us about and teaches us in regards to this incident from the Quran Sharif. Allah ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا. When they too surrendered, they submitted to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no questions asked, oh Allah, why are you instructed me to slaughter my son? Why must I do this and why must I do that? But total surrenderance, total submission to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed to leave Makkatul Mukarramah and go to Madinatul Munawwara, there was no questions asked, Oh Allah, why do I go to Medina, Madinatul Munawwara? Why do I not go to any other place? Why must I leave the Kaaba, your house, where every salah and where every namaz I will read is 100,000 sawab? Why must I go to Madinatul Munawwara? There was no questions asked by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but total submission. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed Abu Bakr radiallahu an to come with him, immediately accepted. Oh Prophet of Allah, I am ready now to come with you. Immediately. At the time of Mi'raj, when our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended through the seven skies, he went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where to where he went, the details of which we know very, very, very little about. There are much more details in regards to that. But when he went up, when he came back down, and he mentioned to the non-Muslims that this is where I went and this is what I saw, they came to Abu Bakr radiallahu an. Oh Abu Bakr, his name was actually Abdullah. Oh Abu Bakr, this is what your Prophet says, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. What he replied. لَإِنْ كَانَ قَالَهُ لَقَدْ صَدَقْ. If he mentioned it, he is true. There was no questions asked that as today people believe Mi'raj to be a myth. How can a prophet go through seven skies? How can he go into Jannat, go to Jahannam, go where to where? Speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to some narrations, even saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No questions were asked. That if he said it, he is true. This is what brought the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to the pedestal and the level that they were. Up till today, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, we read durood upon him. In our salah, every namaz, 5 times a day. In our sunnat namaz, in our nafil namaz, in every single namaz of ours, we are reading durood upon Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. What a great prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he was. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him, that build the Kaaba, where the Kaaba was, in the center of the earth. Where the Kaaba is built, it is the center of the earth. Allah Ta'ala instructed him to build it there. He did not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will people come here? There is no vegetation, there is nothing around here, there is no buildings here, there is no inhabitation here, there is no people around here. There is nothing around this area. Why should I build the Kaaba in a place where there is nothing there? Today it has been built, it is built up. But in those times, when he was there, there was nothing there in that place. No buildings, no animals. There was no vegetation, there was no crops, there was no food. There was nothing there. Not even water was there. Allah Ta'ala granted Hajra alayhi salatu wasalam, that when she moved from Safa to Marwa, and she wanted water, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam cried, Al-Atash, Al-Atash. Thirst and thirst. Allah Ta'ala made it such that Zamzam came out from the ground. But otherwise there was nothing there. He did not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why must I build it here? But immediately, whatever Allah Ta'ala told him, he practiced upon it. His son Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, both of them got together and they built the Kaaba. Despite it not being something that conformed to their logic, they could not understand and fathom. But still, they accepted the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a great quality that is lacking amongst us today. That to accept the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it conforms to our logic or not, today we will make excuses. I do not understand the logic of this law. This law cannot fit into our times today. My dear respected brothers in Islam, we have to fit into the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that the laws must be congruent and must be subservient and must be in pursuant of our whims and fancies. Not that. But we, our desires, our thinking, our understanding, our logic must be in conformity to the Sharia. This is what we have to change around today. When it comes to Hajj, a person will make so many excuses to delay it. When it is completely farz upon a person, he will make so many excuses to delay his Hajj. When it comes to Zakat, so many statements are made, so many ways are used where a person will avoid the compulsion of Zakat. When it comes to Namaz, how many ways we find to get away from Jamaat Namaz? How many ways we find to get away from Namaz itself? When it comes to so many other aspects in regards to our life, some loophole or the other is found, whereas we should have been submitting to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one very important lesson. And the second lesson, there are many other lessons, but I'm just highlighting a few lessons that we learned from Qurbani, is thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the previous shariats, in the previous religions, the previous ummahs before us, whether it was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, whether it was Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, when they used to make qurbani, they used to offer a sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was left on a mountain out of the town. If it was accepted by Allah ta'ala, a fire used to come and burn it, after which they could not eat it. If it was not accepted, it used to be left like that. So it used to be burnt if it was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, otherwise not. In our shariat, in our Islam, in our ummah, we are allowed to slaughter it and we are allowed to eat it. As when Ali mentioned that thawab ke saath bhi kabab bhi mil gaya, that with thawab would reward, we even can eat that animal. But in those shariats, in that shariat, in the ummah before, they could not eat and devour of that animal if it was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know the story of Habil and Qabil. When they were instructed to marry the sisters of one another, Qabil, it's a lengthy story, lengthy incident, Qabil did not accept this. So he, in fact, out of hasad and jealousy, he wanted to marry his own sister. In that shariat, in that time, it was permissible. In today's time, it's not permissible. So he then in turn killed his own brother Habil. They both presented a sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sacrifice of Habil was accepted and of Qabil was not accepted. So he then killed his brother out of jealousy and many other reasons. So the second lesson is shukr and thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, has allowed us to devour and eat of that animal that we sacrifice for his sake. We are sacrificing the animal for Allah ta'ala's sake, but he is allowing us to eat from there. لَيَّنَا اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا. The meat, the flesh and the blood does not reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The actual purpose is not that. وَلَاكِيَّنَا لُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. The main thing is taqwa, that God fearing, that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees to. So my dear respected brethren in Islam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat, that these two qualities of submission, of total surrenderance, of total acceptance of the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come into our life, and secondly of thanking Him. Allah ta'ala speaks in the Quran Sharif, in Surah Al-Adiyat, Allah ta'ala takes qasam and oath upon the horses. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَى. Oath and qasam upon those horses that are running. ضَبْحَى, panting away. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَى. An oath upon those horses that by running so fast, they take out sparks of the ground by hitting their hooves onto the ground. Muriyat is to take out sparks. Qadha is by hitting their hooves onto the ground. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَى. They attack in the early midst of the morning. They go into the midst of the armies and enemies and they attack. فَوَسَطَنَا بِهِ جَمْعَى. They go into the midst of the gatherings and the groups of the enemies. أَثَرَنَا بِهِ نَقْعَى. And they, through that, dust is then stirred up. Allah Ta'ala then says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُونَ. Verily man and human is most definitely Allah Ta'ala. There is three emphasis in this verse. Innal insan li rabbihi la and kanud. That most definitely man is very, very ungrateful to his Lord. that the horse, what does the master provide for the horse? Hardly anything. In comparison to what Allah Ta'ala grants to us every day, let us ask this question to ourselves. Would second of our lives, of our daily lives, do we not need Allah Ta'ala? Every second of our life we need Allah Ta'ala. But here the horse, he just provided some food, some fodder, some shelter, and few other things. And how obedient is the horse to the master. But look at insan and man, how much Allah Ta'ala grants man and a human and people. How obedient and how thankful are we to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in comparison to that of the horse to the master. So shukr, thanks, being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that we also learn from this incident of qurbani. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we bring these important qualities in our life.